Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode of the Incline Dodgers podcast is brought to you by TickPick. The Dodgers are in their second half run right now, and if you're looking to be a part of the magic for this 2024 World Series run, go ahead and download the TickPick app right now, because who wouldn't want to miss part of the action to see your Los Angeles Dodgers chase, hopefully, a World Series? So if you're looking for the best prices out there, no service fees at checkout, no hidden fees and all that BS, best prices compared to all the other ticket sites, TickPick has you covered. And it's not only just Dodgers baseball. NFL is not that far away. If you want your NFL season tickets, you can go to TickPick. If you got your favorite band or artist coming to your favorite city nearby, I do it all the time. I go to see my favorite artists all on TickPick. And like I said, best, cheapest prices out there.
Let's ride.
Time for the words that are recited before each and every game here at Dodger Stadium. Take it away, Finn.
It's time for Dodger Baseball.
What is up, Dodger fans? And thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Incline Dodgers podcast. We are presented by TickPick and FanSided. This is Kevin Klein speaking. July has come to a close for the Los Angeles Dodgers, and we should be very thankful that the month of July is over, because it was an utter disaster. Dodgers have their first losing month for the first time since 2018. So you got to go all the way back to the 2018 season to find a losing month for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And of course, it happens in the month of July for the Dodgers. There he is. Coach is in the house. We just started the stream. What is going on, Coach? What are your feelings on the Los Angeles Dodgers getting swept by the San Diego Padres?
Dude, can you hear me, brother?
We hear you.
Oh, my God, dude. Like, this could be like, this is just a killer night, isn't it? I mean, I almost dislike the Padres as much as I dislike the Giants. Like, this was just a smack in the face and a punch in the gut tonight, wasn't it?
Oh, my God. Especially last night, which we're going to get into. But your Dodgers are now 4.5 games ahead of the San Diego Padres. Their divisional lead is shrinking by the day. They're now 63-46, only 4.5 games ahead of the San Diego Padres. We're lucky that we have a series against the Oakland Athletics, because my goodness, if we were facing another good team right now, who knows where we would be in the standings. But the Padres, they took care of business. They won both games at Petco Park against the Dodgers. And tonight, Clayton Kershaw looked very human.
Yeah, like, you know, as much as we all dislike the Padres and we give them enough problems as it is, but like they took care of business. You're right. I mean, they beat the heck out of us tonight for two straight games. And Kershaw, we all have the image of Kershaw of what he used to be, and he is not that. And I don't know if it's a point of we need to be patient with Kershaw, but I just like it's frustrating to see him go. I'd rather have seen him go against Oakland in the next series. And I don't know where the rotation stacks up that he could have done that, but man, it's hard to see what happened the last two games. And especially like, I would rather lose 8-2, 8-3 than what happened the night before when we have a 6-4 lead going into the bottom of the ninth and doggone Manny Machado of all people starts that thing off. And then a rookie ties it up. And we can't drive in a guy in extra innings. So, like, it's just a double punch in the face. I'm bummed out about it. I hate the Padres. And I could go on record of saying that. And as a fan, dude, like, I hate the Padres. I hate the Giants. And this lead we felt so comfortable with is slowly going away. And I tweeted out last night, Kevin, that I want to see the Dodgers have some anger, some fight. I get that we're a low-key bunch, and that's who we are, and that's who we've built our program or our organization around. But I'm tired of seeing us accept some of the things that are happening, and I want to see some fight. Like I tweeted last night, I want to see a Kurt Gibson get angry in the dugout and give some fight to these guys. Like we're here to win a World Series, correct?
That's what I want.
And listen, I think a lot of our issues as Dodger fans, you know, we get mad at like the guys that want to be prospect guys. We get mad at the trade deadline. The bottom line is we need to win a World Series. And I'm tired of seeing the laid back Southern California attitude that we have. And I'm a Southern California guy born and raised. I love that attitude, but not right now. Like somebody's got to step up in this dugout for us. And like, this is not acceptable as a Dodger fan, as a Dodger player. Like, I'm just going to say it.
Absolutely. Everyone hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. If you're new to the podcast, Coach, it's almost like you should have been managing these Dodgers the last two games. Cause it makes way too much sense to have Clayton Kershaw pitch against the Oakland Athletics and not a divisional rival who's chasing our asses right now with the San Diego Padres. I don't get the logic there at all, to be honest. He made one rehab start, then he had to take a few weeks off. Then he made two more rehab starts, I believe, in the minor league levels at Oklahoma City. And then they call him up. He's not even fully stretched out. The bullpen is running on fumes, and they expect him to perform well against the San Diego Padres. Are these guys high? Like, what the hell are the Dodgers thinking here? This was an obvious setup for failure. I mean, the over-under for strikeouts today for Clayton Kershaw was 3.5, which means that the books in Vegas felt like Kershaw was going to get rocked tonight. Well, Clayton Kershaw had 0 strikeouts tonight, which that was a surprise. That's the first time in his professional major league career as a starter that he leaves a game in the regular season without recording a strikeout. That's the second time in 3 starts now, if you include the postseason, where Clayton Kershaw leaves a game without recording a strikeout. He went 3 2/3 innings tonight. He gave up 6 hits, 7 runs, 3 of them being earned because there was a number of errors, no strikeouts, 1 home run, 83 pitches. That is a disgusting, awful stat line. And I get that it's early. I get that he hasn't made many rehab starts. But people that are thinking that we can lean on Kershaw to start big games in the postseason, I do not see it right now.
Kevin, here's what it is. Kershaw, in our minds, is this mythical creature that we remember from back in the day, and we love the dude so much. He's a Hall of Famer. He did not need to start against the Padres, and this goes back to what I'm saying, and I think anybody that follows me knows that I'm a very calm Dodger fan. I am like, there's no doom and gloom with me. But I said it last night. There's no fight right now. There's no fight. And like, it doesn't take an expert. I could walk into that dugout right now and give a rah-rah speech, and I think we have more fight. Throwing Kershaw out there who, like, we love the guy. Like, let's not kid ourselves. We love the guy. I mean, there's Sandy Koufax and Clayton Kershaw. We're lucky to have a Kershaw, but he's not ready for the Padres. The Padres came into this with like blood coming out of their eyes. They say they had the biggest crowd in Petco history the other night. Right. That tells you something. The Padres came in this to show, yeah, Dodgers, we might be in first place, but the Padres are coming for us. And that's where my frustration is as this loyal 50-year fan of the Dodgers. I want to see some fight from this team. There was no fight in this series. And I'm tired of saying like, yeah, we'll wait till the playoffs start and then we'll kick it in. But like, you know what? Other teams aren't saying that right now. They're coming for us. And somebody's got to step up for us with the Dodgers and take care of business and get this team fired up. And I feel terrible for Kershaw. He got thrown into the fire tonight, and I don't think he was ready for that. Not yet.
Yeah, it was way too premature. And the other issue with Clayton Kershaw right now, he doesn't have the same fastball velocity that he even had prior to the shoulder surgery last season. Oftentimes, he was thrown 89 miles per hour in the strike zone. Sometimes he would hit 90. Other times I think he would hit 88.7 or something. But when he's throwing a slider that's sitting at 86, 87 miles per hour, when you have a velocity difference that's that close in range right there, it's so easy for the opposition to pick up on what pitch to sit on, and they hit the ball hard tonight. I think Clayton Kershaw got a little lucky that more balls didn't get hit into the stands. Manny Machado didn't even have his best game today. He killed us the night before. We'll talk about that. But I don't know where to stand right now with Clayton Kershaw. I was already on the fence of not wanting to rely on this guy in October. And after tonight, I'm sorry. I think Clayton Kershaw is more of a nostalgia train right now than someone that we can lean on heavily in the postseason. There are guys like Robleski, Landon Knack, River Ryan, and Gavin Stone. I think I trust all of them more right now than what I'm seeing out of Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah, like I'm with you. I'll just be the devil's advocate on this thing, and let's hope like Kershaw figures it out in the next few starts. And tonight was an aberration, or whatever it was, whatever you want to use. You're right. Like I don't know what to think about Kershaw. It's hard for me to say anything negative about the guy because he is Clayton Kershaw. And what he's done for us, and that he's going to be a Hall of Famer. But he, you know, you're throwing a 90 mile per hour fastball against the Padres, a team that's sitting four games back, who I think if you're a Padres fan or you're a Padres player, you're thinking like, we could beat the Dodgers. Like, this is the best you've got. I know we've got Mookie Betts isn't playing, and our rotation is starting to come together, and our bullpen is just starting to form, but This is like the Padres have been playing well going into this series. It's not like all of a sudden they said, all right, the Dodgers are coming to town, let's pick it up. They're playing well. And yes, the Dodgers were playing well coming in, but like this stuff worries me as a Dodger fan. And I've talked a lot about this on other platforms that Dodger fans, there is a sense of urgency because yes, we want to win a World Series. And I understand Dodger fans, all points of reference, like, we're nervous. It's one thing sitting on your couch and watching a regular season game in the Dodgers. It's another thing watching the Dodgers when the playoffs start. There's a whole different feeling in our stomach. And I get it. Like, I get every fan right now that's saying and watching these games, like, where are we at as Dodger fans? Like, there's an urgency as Dodger fans. And I'm nervous. I'm nervous right now.
Yeah, it's pretty tough out there. I think the San Diego Padres lead the season series 7-3 against the Dodgers. Yeah. So that's a four-game difference in the standings right there. Even if the Dodgers were to split the season series, that's still a more comfortable lead. But like Coach said, we're down to a 4.5 game lead. So the Padres are chasing our tails. The Diamondbacks are white hot too. I think they're only 5.5 games back of the Dodgers. So they're in the mix too. Not saying it's happening, but there is a realistic shot that the Dodgers could be a third place team if all else fails. They went 11-13 in the month of July. They had been playing good baseball up until this month. So hopefully August brings us better days. And it's just frustrating knowing that the Dodgers starters in general have been really struggling to pitch deep into ball games. Tyler Glasnow was the first Dodger starter to go past this into the seventh inning, I think in 25 starts or something crazy, because everyone else was going five innings or less. So thank God for Tyler Glasnow. More props on him in a little bit. But I just don't understand the way the Dodgers were lining up this rotation, because they knew that they had been overworking the bullpen. Clayton Kershaw, they were hoping to get 5 innings and 80 pitches max out of him. He gave them 3 2/3 innings. That's not going to get the job done. Fortunately for us, Brent Honeywell was able to go 3 innings for the Dodgers, and the game was over at that point. So who cares what hits or earned runs he had given up? It's just huge that he was able to provide the Dodgers that amount of relief innings, because they need guys who can just go out there and eat up garbage innings. But the Dodgers got smoked tonight. They lost 8-1. By the time Kershaw had exited the game, it was already 7-1 Los Angeles. Earlier in the game, I think Shohei Ohtani made a critical base running blunder. He had ignored the stop sign by Dino Ebel after Gavin Lux had doubled. I've been a big Gavin Lux hater, but even I have to admit he was maybe the Dodgers' best positional hitter in the month of July. He was on fire. And unfortunately, when Shohei Ohtani messed up on that base running blunder, that killed the rally. And the Dodgers' offense was basically a no-show after that.
Yeah, and I've been a big Gavin Lux lover. I love the dude, and I'm glad he's hitting. So, like, right at you, Kevin. But, you know, Ohtani ruined my beat the streak. I was going on for 19 tonight, and Ohtani ruined that. I could have picked Bobby Witt, and I didn't realize he was playing in the afternoon. It's frustrating. Kopech pitched well tonight. What do you have, 3 Ks in his inning? So that's a positive sign. Positive sign. I've watched Gratterall here in Oklahoma City. He looks good. Brazier's coming back. We sent down Robo, who I think has pitched really well. You're right. There's a lot of answers that we need to have answered. In this series, I think we got exposed a little bit by a team that's hungry, and we're a team that's satisfied at the moment. And I think people that follow me and if followed whatever I talk about, I'm like Mr. Positivity about the Dodgers. But last night, like, changed something within me. Like, I want to see a more sense of urgency from our Dodgers. And I know we don't have Mookie. I know we don't have Freddie. And I know we have some injury issues. But, like, I want to see more of an urgency from this Dodgers team. And I'm tired of the complacency. Like, I'm tired of that. Like, we need to win a World Series this year. We need to beat the Padres. 7-3 is unacceptable to that team, the Padres. That's unacceptable. And I'm tired of being Mr. Nice Guy about the Dodgers on this stuff. And, like, come on, Dodgers. Like, if we don't go into Oakland with some fire, like, I'm going to be really ticked off even more.
So, like I said a few minutes ago, I know it's early. I know a lot of Dodger fans still have a ton of faith in Kershaw and that he's going to figure it out. And I get it, because he's the greatest pitcher, arguably, in franchise history. But I've been saying it for weeks now, with Kershaw ramping up and getting added back into the Dodgers rotation, which was why prior to this comment, I was a big advocate that they needed to add an arm. So thank God they did that with Jack Flaherty. Maybe we'll get some thoughts about the trade deadline later on in this episode. But so back to the Kershaw front. I've been saying, I don't think the Dodgers can put themselves in a position to rely on Clayton Kershaw to pitch big games in the postseason for this team at all. Even a game 4 starter scares the hell out of me. I just don't think he has the stuff that plays anymore. And I'm always going to think about that Arizona Diamondback start. And I understand his shoulder was falling off, but the logic for me right now is why I'm scared this season is because he underwent shoulder surgery. More often than not, it takes guys a long time to adjust, at least a full season, coming off shoulder surgery. And it'd be foolish to think that he's going to come back into this year and just pitch like the Clayton Kershaw of old. And that's why I think the Dodgers really need to not do this whole loyalty thing like they've done in the past, and they need to go with the best pitchers. They made that mistake last year with going with Lance Lynn over Ryan Pepiot. I don't want them to make the same mistake like they did. They could do this year. If Robleski's pitching better than Kershaw, give the ball to Robleski. If River Ryan's pitching his ass off, give the ball to River Ryan. Because we've got Glasnow, we've got Flaherty. Hopefully we've got Yamamoto. And then game 4 can be a battle between Stone and all those guys I just mentioned.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, like, let's calm down a little bit. Like, we love Kersh. The dude's a stud. He's a Hall of Famer. He's a Dodger through and through, but we need to win. And I don't know. I'm not in that dugout. I'm not in that front office. And I don't know what Kershaw's telling them. But just from an outside perspective, and you've hit the nail on the head, Kevin, like, Kershaw, I don't know if you're ready yet. Like, you rushed back to be a part of this special team.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And I'm worried. And I don't know what that means. Like, I don't know, in a couple months, are you going to be ready for a game four start? Maybe he will. Maybe we're jumping the gun because he had a bad start tonight and it was a meaningful start. But River Ryan's pitched well. Robo's pitched well. Gavin Stone's been a stud. You got Yamamoto coming back. Glasnow. I mean, I trust those guys right now. It's killing me to say, like, do we trust Kershaw? It's a tough thing to say. And I don't know if we do. Like, tonight showed me, like, I hope we're not just throwing him out there because of, like you said, nostalgia. And he's a Hall of Famer and he's the greatest thing we've ever seen in our generation, other than Sandy Koufax. My dad saw Sandy Koufax. I didn't get to see him. I got to see Kershaw. And my dad sat in the outfield bleachers watching Koufax pitch in Dodger Stadium. I didn't get that luxury. I've got to see Kershaw. And my heart says, I love you, Kersh. But, man, we need to win a World Series. And it's like, Come on. Like, if Kershaw is not the answer, let's make sure we find the guy that is the answer. We need to win a World Series. And I know everybody out there is saying the same thing as Dodger fans. So I'm with you, Kevin, man. We're all saying the same thing. We love the dude. But if he's not ready, he's not ready.
And so last night stings even more because I had a bad feeling going into today. Yeah. And last night wasn't even the worst loss of the Dodger season. That disaster of a game in Houston definitely might take the cake. But last night still sucked because it was against the Padres. I don't care that it was July 30th at the time. That was still a very meaningful game. And call me crazy, but that could decide the division hypothetically, like in 2021 when the Dodgers lost the division by one game to the San Francisco Giants. Like, there is a world out there where the Padres just get hot and they just don't lose anymore. And the Dodgers have to start playing catch up. Not saying that's going to happen, but you have to throw out these hypotheticals sometimes. And that's why when you have interdivision games like we had last night and today, it's important to at least win one of the two and not get swept. And so the way it's teased off is that Tyler Glasnow pitched awesome. He gave them seven innings. The Dodgers hadn't had anyone do a seven-inning start in over a month, it felt like. Glasnow went seven, gave up three runs, eight strikeouts. If he does that in the playoff game, I have no complaints. That's an A-plus performance for me. That's a quality start. That's what your ace is supposed to do. So Glasnow did everything he could to give the Dodgers the lead. They were up 5-0 after the first inning, and then the Dodgers didn't score after that, even though it went into extra innings. But the main culprit and why we lost that game, and I don't know what the hell happened, but Blake Treinen had a complete meltdown in the ninth inning. So, Coach, I want to get your thoughts. Was this just Blake Treinen having a bad night? Did the Dodgers make a mistake because they're doing a closer by committee and that's not the right move to do? Or was this fatigue? Like, what happened to Blake?
Listen, I'm with you, man. Like, I texted my brother Jeff and I'm like, what is going on here, dude? Like, I'm a big Blake Treinen fan. And like last night, I was sitting there with my wife. We were having a nice glass of wine. We were feeling good. I'm like, man, we're up in this game. We got three outs to go. And like Manny Machado, that mother flipping dude, jacks one out of there. And I'm like, this is not a good sign. And like the look on Blake Treinen's face was like what the heck just happened? And then Merrill hits one out and we're tied. And like I said to my wife and I said, Stace, this is not good. Like for the first time in like a long time, I got super negative about like, and I love Blake Treinen. I'm not going to doubt the decision-making from the Dodgers on that standpoint, but a bad game like this late for me, like for the first time, I was like, dude, this isn't good. Like that's my first response was, and people that know me as a Dodger fan, I've been a Dodger fan, Kevin, for 50 years. I'm a positive Dodger fan. I'm not negative ever. Probably why I'm not on much things anymore, but I was like, dude, like, come on, Dodgers. Like, the look was like, oh, okay. Blake looked pissed off, but, like, I don't know. Like, you're right. This stuff could come back and bite you. I'm going to be positive on this stuff and say maybe we just had a bad series. We got these new guys coming in. But, like, dude, come on, Blake. 6-4, like, whatever it was, we cannot be up 6-4. We got to get Manny Machado of all dudes, Manny Machado. And then a rookie, Jackson Merrill.
Oh, yeah.
It's just frustrating. And then you're like, okay, so like I'm okay with like I got over that they tied it. But we got a guy on second, and we can't move him over. We can't get a sack fly. We can't get a ground ball to the right side of the infield. Like that stuff is just a killer to me. And it's like it's frustrating as a Dodger fan. And I get it. We have Dodger fans in wide variety of feelings. We all have the same common thing. We want to win a World Series. And like these little games that we lose add up at the end. And it scares me a little bit.
There was just no excuse for Blake Treinen not to execute there. They were up two runs. Yes. All they needed was three outs. I had a friend text me that Manny Machado is now on the same tier as Paul Pierce to him in terms of hatred, and maybe a little extreme, but Manny Machado has been killing the Dodgers recently and it pisses me off.
Yeah.
Cause it's like the one guy that chases and swings a lot at pitches outside the zone. They're giving him pitches to hit, which I don't understand. I feel like Blake Treinen was too aggressive in that inning, giving both Merrill and Machado pitches that they could hit. And I didn't feel like he was going enough with the slider, throwing it outside the zone to get them to chase a little bit. He was a little too predictable with the sinker. And I don't want to hear that, oh, Blake Treinen is tired. They're overworking him. No, that's BS. They had a day off. He was fresh. I think Treinen may have had even 2 days off. I'm pretty sure he gave up a home run in Houston, and then we didn't hear from him since. But he gave up the two home runs. He was fresh. Alex Vesey, on the other hand, I understand that narrative. They have been overworking him for sure. His fastball velocity had dropped off two ticks off his fastball. They're using him, I feel like, way too much. And it's probably because the Dodgers starters were continuing to not pitch too deep into games. So that gets into this comment from Jose Luis in the chat. Use Kershaw as an opener at best. Any other plan to rehab him in real games is a slap in the face to us Dodger fans. So I agree with the second part of his comment. I think it's absolutely foolish to use Kershaw in what some fans are calling spring training like games for us. No, you don't do spring training games in the month of July in the second half after the All-Star break post trade deadline. That's stupid. If you want to use Kershaw in a light start, you do it against the Athletics, like Coach said early on, a team with no experience, not a divisional foe that's trying to catch us for first place. The second, the first comment part, though, that he makes about Kershaw being an opener at best, I don't think the Dodgers can afford to have Kershaw on the roster if he's going to be an opener. These 13 spots right now in the Dodgers pitching staff are very, very valuable. And so if you got Kershaw who can't pitch deep into games, then you have to put him on the injured list like they did with Walker Buehler, and he needs to figure out how to pitch deeper into games, or they can't send him down like they did to Bobby Miller, but they need guys that can give them, honestly, at a minimum, five innings, hopefully, ideally, six plus. And that's why guys like Robleski and even Landon Knack feel a little more deserving right now, because they were able to eat up quality innings for the Dodgers and keep the bullpen more fresh. It was not their fault that the relievers had to come into the games earlier. That was a Dave Roberts decision to pull the Robleskis and the Landon Knacks on light pitch counts. And that's why the bullpen is where it's at in terms of its workload.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, our bullpen is taxed. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. Our starting pitching has not, other than Glasnow, we haven't gone deep into games. And our bullpen is getting exposed a little bit. I don't know if, like, let's be realistic. I don't know if the Dodgers are going to do Kershaw as an opener. I just don't see that. I'll play the cool guy here on this. Kershaw had a bad outing tonight. Okay. Let's hope Kershaw gets it figured out in the next outing. He's a gamer. He's a veteran. He's going to go do the analytics and look at all this stuff. So part of me, my heart says, come on, Kershaw, let's figure this out for your next start. Maybe tonight was a bad outing. Maybe we're jumping the gun and we're emotional about it. But like, I'm tired of the excuses with this thing. I'm not an emotional Dodger fan. I'm a very calm fan on this thing, but I'm going to go back to this again, Kevin. You've given some great analysts there, but I just want some fight. I want some fight from these Dodgers. I get it. We don't have Betts and we don't have Freeman. We're playing a weird dude at first base. And we've traded. We've got Kevin Kiermaier, who I don't understand that. Because, like, okay, I think Albin's a better outfielder. We've got Rosario, who didn't make the playoff roster. We got Tommy Edman, who hasn't even played a game yet. Great. I trust our front office. Dude, I just want some fight as a coach. Like, I just want fight from these dudes. Like, don't accept this. Like, lose, but lose with some anger in you. And that's where I'm at right now. And I think if you look back at the history of Coach Barakoff, M. Barakoff, Coach Barakoff Twitter, I'm the most positive dude ever in the history of Dodger fandom. But right now, Kevin, I want fight on this Incline Dodgers podcast. I'm here to say, give me some fight, Dodgers. Don't accept like the Padres like took it to us. That's not acceptable to me. That team and the stupid uniforms they wear, the ugly colors they wear, Manny Machado, those dudes like that, like they should not be doing this to us. I don't like that. And call me whatever I want. Call me a homer. I'm okay with it, but I want fight from this team. Like Kurt Gibson needs to come back, and Oral Hershiser, and that type of stuff. That's what I want to see. Like, let's get some like controversy in the dugout, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I don't think that'll happen under Dave Roberts' watch, because he's all about peace and tea time, and let's go make some s'mores, and we'll go watch Little Mermaid together, and everyone will just be a happy family. But yeah, hit that like button. What's up, BC? Go Dodgers. That's right. I want the chat to ask us any hard-hitting questions. We're here to answer anything you guys got. Let's have fun with this. We're here for another half hour or so. So, I mean, I agree with Coach. They need some fight out there. That's why I was a big advocate to get a Randy or Rosarena-like. I felt like he'd add a lot of fuel. But instead, they got the cool guy in Kevin Kiermaier, and Moose1032 might have a point in the chat that he's pretty much the same as James Altman at this point. Like, I'm going to give respect to Kevin Kiermaier's defense. He is a phenomenal defender in center field, and he can get it done. But offensively, yeah, he's not doing much more than James Outman, like Coach was saying.
Yeah.
And James Outman has certainly more power upside.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting decision, other than the fact that it looks like the Dodgers want to go with the veteran once again over the less proven, inexperienced player, which I get it. You want to win a World Series. I don't know if Kevin Kiermaier is your answer to winning a championship. He was close with Tampa Bay in 2020. But hasn't really been as effective consistently since. Ahmed Rosario, I think he's a nice stopgap. Who knows what the hell is going to happen to Miguel Rojas. We don't even – the Dodgers lie with their injuries constantly, so we'll see what happens. Yeah, Dennis Gonzalez with a good point. The Dodgers should have gotten Tommy Pham. That's a tough guy. That's an asshole. He will start fights in the dugout. He already hit a grand slam for the St. Louis Cardinals earlier today, I think it was. But for whatever reason, it seems like the Dodgers are going to avoid that guy at all costs. Maybe it has to do with his fight with Jock Peterson, and they're going to be loyal to someone that's not even a Dodger anymore. Who the hell knows? Sometimes this clubhouse, they have some weird rules.
Yeah, you know, again, I'm a Dave Roberts fan. I'm one of the few. I'm okay to say that. I get, Kevin, what you're saying. Like, he is a very chill, relaxed dude. Tommy Pham, I'm glad we didn't get Tommy Pham. I just don't see him as a Dodger fit. But, man, like, I just don't understand. I love our pitching moves. I hope Jake Flattery, whatever his name is, he figures he's a stud. I hope he is. Kopech, I hope he becomes a stud.
Kopech's awesome. I believe in him.
I like him. But it's like what? I've said it a long time. I don't think teams are just going to want to deal like these guys we hope we can get as Dodger fans. Like, as Dodger fans, we want these high-end dudes, but our teams are even willing to give us these high-end guys. I like the fact that we protected Dalton Rushing. Mm-hmm. I like what we got out of the Detroit deal. We didn't give up. We gave up Sweeney, which I'm okay with.
Mm-hmm.
And our catcher, because Dalton Rushing, they obviously valued him more than the catcher that they gave up. But I'm going to tell you what, I've been a big Outman fan. I watch him on a daily basis doing the pitch clock for the Oklahoma City Baseball Club. I love Outman in center field. I think he's a high-end center fielder defensively. He's got more power than Kiermaier. I didn't understand that move. But, again, we're Dodger fans. We're kind of on this – we're balancing this thing of like, we got to win now, right? Like we need to win a World Series. So we're all saying the same thing. We want to win a World Series. No, it all comes together. No matter what side A, B, C, D you're on, all of us want to win this World Series.
Oh, absolutely. They win they win one 162 game season World Series. I won't complain for years. Like, that's all I want. I just want a full season of a World Series, non-COVID, so that I can be at the parade. That's all I'm asking for. Just give me one, God damn it. So during the trade deadline season, I was getting out there. I was reaching out to insiders. I had sources texting me. So I was kind of in the loop of what the Dodgers were doing. So that was awesome for the first time in my life during a trade deadline season. And after the trade deadline had finished off, I'll keep them anonymous, but someone did tell me that the Dodgers had a deal pretty close and lined up with the Chicago White Sox for Garrett Crochet. But because of the whole extension mess, it caused this deal to fall through. But I don't have confirmation of how close this deal was. But some of the names that were going to be involved, and I don't know how legitimate it is, but I was told that Trey Sweeney, Nick Ferrasso, Lorenzo, the catcher they just traded, was in there. Cartaya, Landon Knack were some of the names that were going to be in this Garrett Crochet deal. But because of the extension and all the uncertainty, the Dodgers ended up pivoting and they got Jack Flaherty.
Kevin, I think, you know, I've been talking a lot about people with this. And being in the press box at Oklahoma City Baseball Club, I get a little bit of a different perspective. The third wild card has changed everything with the trade deadline.
Yeah.
Because if you're a team that is close, 2.5 games out or 3.5 games out, and you're one of those teams that has a guy that maybe the Dodgers would want, and you trade that guy, your fan base is going to go ballistic. So I think this third wild card has played a different perspective on this trade deadline. And I think teams were a little hesitant to trade. That's my only take on this. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a few connections that told me that they didn't even know what the Dodgers were considering, and they were Dodger personnel.
Yeah.
You had some good connections that said maybe we were involved with the Crochet deal. It's a strange deal now with this third wild card. And I go back to the thought of, why do teams just want to deal with the Dodgers? Like, as Dodger fans, we expect that we can get these high-end guys. But it's not like everybody just wants to deal with us. Like, you know, it's like, yes, we have a great farm system. We have these great prospects, but they're unknown assets. And that's a tough thing to trade with. I would love to have Crochet. Like, that would have been awesome. Like, he would have been great. But, like, there was so much uncertainty with his contract and all that. So, like, I get what the Dodgers are doing. But this third wild card, and I think people don't think about this, that third wild card has played a big deal with this trade deadline. There wasn't a ton of high moves because of that.
Facts. All right, let's get to some questions. If people have more questions, we'll get to your guys' questions as well. This is a good one from MWG. If you had to pick, who is the Dodgers closer? So I have a psycho take, so I'm going to let you go first, Coach.
Okay, I'm going to give the common, rational, the calm Dodger fan take. I am still a big Evan fan. I love Evan Phillips still. I think he's our guy. I think pitchers go through ebbs and flows, and I think he's struggling right now a little bit. Trust me, I'm as a big fan of this guy, and he gives up those what he's given up. I think he's our closer, and I trust him. But I'm a calm fan. You might have something a different take, Kevin, and that's why you have me on, because I'm the calm guy of the group.
So Evan Phillips was the opposite of the player of the month. He was like the loser of the month. I think that you're spot on. If Evan Phillips can start to get it together in the month of August, maybe to not mess with his psyche, they have to give him a dedicated role. So they have to decide, you're either the closer or you're a fireman relief pitcher, and stop with the in-betweens, because maybe that's throwing him off. I have no clue. I'm not in the head of Evan Phillips, but I'm going to be a psycho right now. And I think the Dodgers need to figure out what to do with Bobby Miller and commit to him becoming a relief pitcher for the rest of this season. I'm not saying for the longevity of his career, but it looks like where Bobby Miller currently is at, I don't think he's going to get it together to be an effective starter for the Dodgers at this point, this late into the season. I think if the Dodgers want to have Bobby Miller make any impact for the Dodgers immediately, you throw him into the bullpen. Jake made a good comparison just yesterday, saying maybe this is like the Eric Gagne situation, a guy that had great stuff, couldn't figure it out as a starter. They threw him into the bullpen. And yes, steroids happened, but Eric Gagne became a Cy Young award-winning closer. Joe Kelly is another example. This was a guy who was a first-round draft pick as a starting pitcher, started postseason games, as we all know, against the Dodgers, broke Hanley Ramirez's ribs, became a very effective and successful high-end, high-leverage guy for the Red Sox and other teams, and most recently and just recently acquired Michael Kopech, a guy that was touted to be a big-time starter. He got moved to the bullpen, and now he's throwing 102 out of the pen. I think the Dodgers need to give this some serious thought. Call up Bobby Miller after you give him maybe 3 or 4 appearances in Oklahoma City as a relief pitcher. Add him to the pen. Now you've got a guy that can throw 100 miles per hour. We're asking him to get 3 outs at a minimum. Maybe he can go 4 or 5 outs for us if he's in a hot rhythm. But I think this would be a different mentality, knowing that he just has to go out there for one inning, let the gas loose, strike people out, throw that nasty changeup he has, get back to the curveball and the slider. This guy's 5 pitches. Maybe he drops a pitch or two that aren't effective for this season, and he just throws gas. And I could see a world where Bobby Miller, if he gets it together mentally, it sounds crazy, he could be a freaking awesome closer.
Okay, if you want to bring back and say Bobby Miller can reincarnate and be Eric Gagne, like, dude, that would be incredible. I'm a huge Bobby Miller fan. He had a terrible outing in Oklahoma City. I didn't get to do the pitch clock on him, but I talked to enough people that were there that night. I could see that. Your crazy take is not crazy to me. Bobby Miller for three, you need three outs. Bobby Miller could come in and get that done. I could totally see that. And I love Bobby Miller. Like that dude is a stud. But I could see what you're going with that. Like I totally love that. And you know what? For a year where we need to win a World Series, Bobby Miller would be great out of the pen. And like you're not hurting the guy. Like you could always regroup in spring training and get him back to being a starter if that's what you want to do. But like, why not use a high leverage guy like that for three outs, 99 to 100 plus? I could see that. Totally. Kevin, I don't think that's a crazy psychotic take at all.
Thank you.
I'm going to go on record and say, I love what you're talking about right now.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. BC, why not get Eric Fetty? 3.11 ERA, and he was stolen by the Cardinals for cheap. BC, you're not wrong at all. I was pretty high on Eric Fetty, and I felt like he'd be a nice filler pitcher, maybe a number four guy for us. Certainly pitching better than Clayton Kershaw by all accounts right now. But obviously the Dodgers were not really in on Eric Fetty, and they were the facilitators, unironically, to get this deal done because they wanted Tommy Edman. The White Sox didn't want Tommy Edman. The Dodgers wanted Tommy Edman. So they said, hey, we'll be the third wheel here and we'll give up Miguel Vargas and some prospects. You Cardinals, you get Tommy Pham and Eric Fetty, two impact players right now. We want Michael Kopech, which is a great move for the bullpen. That was the only bullpen piece we added during the trade deadline because we got some guys back like Michael Grove, Gratterall, and Brazier, maybe. So I get it. But yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. Eric Fetty would have been a great impact starter, but obviously the Dodgers had other sights in mind. They wanted Crochet, didn't happen. They got Flaherty. Just based off the roster construction, and there's probably some questions later on, they didn't feel like they needed to add two MLB-ready starters. I never felt like they were going to do that anyways when they've got River Ryan right now. Walker Buehler, they're going to expect him to come back. Whether you believe in him or not, they're going to activate Walker Buehler at some point. Yeah. So the Dodgers, as crazy as it sounds, because the pitching rotation is a mess, they have a lot of depth. It's just not good depth.
Yeah, like, why did we get Eric Fetty? Like, I don't know. Maybe Eric Fetty, they didn't want to give us Eric Fetty. Like, it's we don't know what goes on inside those meetings and those phone calls. Like, Eric Fetty would have been great. I mean, Kevin, you talked about it a month ago, if I remember correctly. Like, that was one guy that you said you really thought the Dodgers should target. And maybe they did target him, and maybe the asking price was not what the Dodgers wanted. Walker Buehler did not have a good outing in Oklahoma City here last week.
Right.
There's no like sugarcoating that. He did not look good. The trip to Florida didn't pan out. But you know what? He's still Walker Buehler, and the Dodgers are going to give him a chance. And you got to think, if you have like Dodger fans, Kershaw, Buehler, Glasnow, Yamamoto, Gavin Stone, on paper and in your mind, that's a pretty good staff. And I'm looking at it right now. We're still 4.5 games up on San Diego, and we haven't even figured it out yet. We don't have Mookie Betts. Freddie Freeman's been dealing with his son's illness, rightly so. He should be away from the Dodgers right now. Mookie's starting to get healthy. So we're still 4.5 games up. And yes, you and I, we're freaking out. That's why we're doing this podcast right now. We talked on text. Like, we're in a freakout mode. I'm a freakout mode right now. Like, come on, we're 4.5 games up. I want to be 8.5 games up. But if Buehler ever figures it out, Glasnow, Yamamoto, if Kershaw figures it out, and Gavin Stone pitches the way he should, and he should have been an all-star, that's a pretty good staff. And you got Brazier, Gratterall coming back. We like what Honeywell's doing. Mm-hmm. Phillips is pretty doggone good. Daniel Hudson, Vesia. And if you can give this bullpen some rest, the Dodgers are looking pretty good. So, like, as much as I'm frustrated and I want to see some fight, like, the long term, part of me wants to say, let's take a step back and say, like, I like what we have coming for us. So hopefully that's what that hopefully that's what's going to happen.
I'm hoping that the Mookie Betts injury somehow ends up being like a blessing in disguise, because it kept the Dodgers in a close divisional race for once. And I'm hoping that when Mookie Betts comes back, he's playing with a chip on his shoulder, because people are going to, he's going to have that mentality. I'm hoping where it's like, you think you forgot about me? Well, I'm still freaking Mookie Betts, and I'm here to tear the cover off the ball. I'm going to hit the shit out of the baseball, and I'm going to be Mookie Betts of pre-hand injury. So I'm hoping that because he had missed so much time, he's going to come back fired up. Maybe it'll reinvigorate him and he'll be fired up down the stretch, because it'll be like 6 or 7 weeks, I think, left of the regular season by the time Mookie Betts returns. And it worked out great for Corey Seager, who missed 58 or 60 games, I believe. And then he had like 1,000 OPS coming back from the hand fracture. So Steve Moore with a fair question: is this Clayton Kershaw's last year if this continues?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Don't you like, I don't see, I mean, he signed for this 1 year. Like, I think this is it for Kershaw. I think he totally believed in what the Dodgers were doing and who they were signing. And if you look back, healthy Mookie Betts, like, let's give Freddie Freeman a break. For all we know, he's been dealing with his son's illness for the last couple of months, and knowing what his son's been dealing with, and he's hitting 298, which is phenomenal for most people. But for Freddie Freeman, it's like you question that. Maybe this is what Freddie Freeman's been dealing with, and he's been struggling with the fact of real life situations. Otani's a stud. Gavin Lux is finally figuring it out. Like, yeah, I think this could be Kershaw's last year. I mean, I think this is it for him. I think he's trying to go out. I think he believes in this Dodger team, and I think he believes in what the management has done. I don't see Kershaw coming back for another year. I just don't. And I'm a huge Kershaw fan.
So I have a different perspective. He is signed to next year as well. He signed a 2-year deal. I don't think Clayton Kershaw is going to hang it up just yet. I think he wants to go into 2025 potentially feeling 100%, have a regular spring training, get back to where he was pre-shoulder surgery, because I mentioned it earlier. I think it takes significant time to bounce back from shoulder surgery, and I almost feel like Clayton Kershaw rushed himself back. I'm still kind of a skeptic that this is even possible he's pitching in the year 2024, but I'm hoping that Clayton Kershaw, he would deserve it too, to have a farewell tour, a final season where he can pitch on a high note and hopefully get close to 30 starts and just check off the boxes, get the milestones, and be an effective contributor for the Dodgers. So I'm not convinced yet that he's done.
Kevin, I think that's why you and I have good conversations, because I think we bounce back and forth different opinions on each other. That's a great observation. I don't know. I just look at Kershaw and I'm like, does he really want to do this another year? He's married. He's got all these kids. He's a big time family guy. His kids are going to the ballpark now. And you're right. I mean, as a fan, I'd love to see Kershaw come back another year. If the Dodgers win a World Series, I'm going to put this right out here right now. If the Dodgers win a World Series, Kershaw's going to retire.
Would be the best way to go out, without a doubt. Right. Dennis Gonzalez, what do you think it was that kept Freeman from going all out with the Rays for Arozarena and Isak Paredes?
Go ahead. Let me jump in, Kevin. And I'm going to give the fan perspective, a realistic perspective. Maybe that deal was never in place for the Dodgers. It's one thing to say, like, I would love to have those guys, but maybe the asking price was too much. Maybe the asking price was not even, maybe they weren't even going to deal with the Dodgers at that point. It's easy to say, again, as Dodger fans, I think we should get these guys, but we're not in the discussions on the phone calls with those organizations. And maybe it was too much. I would love to hear your perspective on it, but sometimes I think we expect too much. Realistically, maybe they didn't even want to deal with us as a Dodger base.
It's fair. So from what I was told, the Dodgers did check in on Randy Arozarena a few times, but there really was never any momentum in terms of getting a trade placed. I think it might stem more from the Tampa Bay Rays, frankly, just didn't line up with us, and they didn't want the players that the Dodgers were willing to trade. You look at who the Dodgers traded: Trey Sweeney, Lorenzo. Looks like they were willing to deal Landon Knack and maybe Cartaya, who coach has firsthand experience seeing. Cartaya just has not lived up to the potential at all. I just think maybe that the Dodgers didn't have the available players that Tampa Bay was asking for. So I just think they didn't line up.
Yeah. You know, I see Cartaya all the time, and I've been a massive fan of Cartaya, but I've changed my opinion quite a bit, and I don't see the Dodgers giving up Dalton rushing. I just didn't see that. And I would imagine Dalton rushing was a first name that was brought up quite a bit, if I could just guess. And you know, we've got Will Smith to what, 2033.
Yeah.
Dalton rushing's the next guy up. I don't see Cartaya being that guy. And he hasn't gotten it done in AAA. I watch him on a daily basis. Again, it's as Dodger fans, we expect Friedman to go in and make these phone calls and people to say exactly, yes, Friedman, yes, we're going to make that deal. I don't think it's as simple as that. I would love to have some of the guys that we want as Dodger fans. Like, that would make perfect sense to have some of these guys, Tanner Scott and these bullpen pieces. And I think as Dodger fans, we say, like, wow, the Padres are giving up their whole farm system. They're now the 27th ranked farm system. Okay, that's great. But then as Dodger fans, we say we're happy with this farm system we have. We're a top 10 farm system. And then we get frustrated. Dodger fans, we want it so badly. That's what I'm trying to say. We want it so badly. And I don't think teams are wanting to deal as much as we think teams are wanting to deal with us, if that makes sense.
No, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I think from the fan vantage point, a lot of us, maybe even including myself, we felt like Dalton rushing was a great trade chip.
Yeah.
But from what it's coming out is that the Dodgers are actually much higher on Dalton rushing than us fans, some of us fans are. And it seems like they view him as currently an untradeable asset. So maybe it's a little puzzling because they've got Will Smith, but it looks like they're trying to find other positions for Dalton rushing, whether it's the outfield or other infield positions. And so it seems like the Dodgers have a plan for this guy.
Kevin, here's what I've learned, and I won't say the name, but I was enlightened on this comment. An unknown asset is better than a known asset, or a known asset is better than an unknown asset. Dalton rushing is an unknown asset, but the Dodgers think very highly of him. And I totally understand that. And it kind of changed my opinion. Like, I love our prospects. And I can take any heat people want to give me about that. I love our prospects. But you know what? They're still unknown. Just because they're a highly rated prospect, they're still unknown compared to a known player that has gotten it done. But I think the Dodgers are very highly thinking of Dalton rushing. And I've been a Dalton rushing fan a long time, but you know what? Like, I don't want to do what the Padres did and give up their entire farm system. I get that we want to win now and we need to win a World Series, but like, there's still like part of me thinks of like the future of the Dodgers organization. I think Dalton rushing, I think, is considered that. My brother kept texting me through this whole deadline. He goes, "We're not giving up Pajes, are we? We're not giving up Pajes, are we?" And I'm like, if anybody were giving up is Vargas, because like, he needs an opportunity. Like, I think some of these prospects, it's okay to give them up, to give them opportunities. But I'm like, I don't think we're giving up Pajes or Outman. And I think rushing is one of those untouchables right now. Right now, I think.
Yeah, agreed. Definitely. So we're saving the best for last. And of course, if anyone has any final questions, feel free to drop those below in the chat. Send us super chats like Moose1032 just did. So I'm really appreciative. This is awesome. Thank you so much, Moose1032, for your super chat. And looks like a fire question. Kevin and Coach, do the Dodgers end up using a Robleski or Landon Knack in the pen to help?
Okay. Let's talk about that in a realistic tone. Who are we going to take out of that bullpen? So Honeywell would be your first guy, right?
Yeah.
Like the first name that would come to my mind. Mm-hmm. But you've got Vesia, Phillips, Hudson. Mm-hmm. You got Brewster, the bazooka coming back, who looks really good. I pitch clocked him last week. I love the way he looked.
Yes.
Brazier looked like a stud.
Okay. So
who are we going to give those guys into our bullpen? Who is the guy that's going to go? Like, I love the guys that he mentioned, but like, who are we going to take out of that bullpen?
Yeah. So you named five and those are all locks. Michael Grove's coming back. They're going to call him up. So that's
and he looked
six.
Good, Kevin. And he looked good.
Blake Treinen's on this roster. That's seven. I believe you didn't say Michael Kopech. That's eight.
Eight.
So that's your bullpen right there. And we're leaving guys out. So when it's October, they have the luxury of leaving off a starter and they can add whoever the hell they want, because you only need four starting pitchers. So maybe that's, you get creative there. That's your, could be your Robleski. That could be your Landon Knack. But if they're not pitching for the Dodgers, fortunately they get a, they get, I believe, one additional pitcher with the September call up. I don't believe you can do two pitchers, but I could be mistaken there, but you get at least one pitcher in September you can add to the roster and one positional player. So you can expand to 28. So you can maybe do it then, add the Robleski or the Knack and have them get some major league experience coming out of the bullpen. But barring injuries, there are a lot of veterans on this staff right now. There are a lot of old guys, no offense. There, some of them are starting to break down. Trinan's up there in age. Hudson's up there in age. Brazier, who's been out most of the year, he's up there in age. It's injury riddled as well, but there are too many veterans right now. And unless the Dodgers want to make some hard hitting cuts or phantom IL some guys, it's going to be really, really difficult to add a Robleski or a Landon Knack, at least in the month of August, to come out of this bullpen. But I think I'm on board. I've already suggested the Bobby Miller idea too. So that's another guy to throw into the mix. Yeah. Like, it's really interesting because the Dodgers have a lot of guys right now who should be on this big league roster. The issue is they're not all pitching up to the standards that we expect. So we're kind of stuck with some guys we can't option down. And I didn't even throw out Anthony Banda's names, for goodness sake. He's been awesome and he deserves to be on this big league roster. He's been the second lefty we've been asking for.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's we're 4.5 games up and we're freaking out a little bit. Kevin, you and I were texting, like, let's go onto the air and like, let's have a freak out session a little bit about this Padres series. But you're right. Like, I love Robo. I love Knack. Like, those dudes are studs. Like, we are very fortunate as Dodger fans to have a pretty good young base of pitchers. And Bobby Miller is a name you could throw in there. Like, I'm just hoping he figures it out here in Oklahoma City. Like, that dude's a stud. Like, who doesn't want a dude like that that's drinking tequila in his car? Like, come on now, Kevin. right? But, yeah. Like, if Brazier can figure, like, get to be Brazier and Bazooka, Brustar Graterol.
Yeah.
Like, me personally, I'm trusting those guys over Knack and Robo. Two guys that I love, and I am a big time lover of our prospects, but Brustar and Brazier, if they are what they're supposed to be, like, those are two lockdown dudes in our pen that I trust in the playoff situation. And I don't know if I trust a Knack and a Robo in a playoff situation where you need three outs in the seventh inning. Like, I trust Brustar or Ryan Brazier to give us those outs. And again, I'm going to go back to this, Kevin. No matter what we say as Dodger fans, we're all in this together in the sense that we want the Dodgers to win a World Series. No matter what we say on social media, bottom line is we're freaking out because we need to win a World Series. And I think that's where all this sense of urgency is coming together. And, like, come on now. Like, we've got a lot of good assets. We just have it all. We need it all to come together.
No doubt about it. So this month of August is going to be a bitch for the Dodgers. They get tomorrow off, and then they got three games against the Oakland Athletics. They've got to win that series. No ifs, ands, or buts. They got to win that series because following that, they host the Phillies for three games, who swept our asses in Philadelphia. They've got to play the Pittsburgh Pirates, who have that guy named Paul Skeens you may have heard of. He could face the Dodgers, and he throws nothing but gas, and he might be the front runner for the Cy Young Award now. And the Pirates, for whatever reason, good or bad, tend to play the Dodgers tough. Then we go to Milwaukee. We've got a four-game series against the Brewers, who are trying to hold down the NL Central on their own. And then following that, we go to St. Louis, a Cardinals team that tends to play the Dodgers tough as well. And they're in a postseason race. They're going to want to win those games. Then we host the Seattle Mariners for three. The Mariners are trying to fight off the Houston Astros for that AL West crown. So, you know, those games are going to be a battle. And of course, Randy Arozarena, given if healthy, he's going to be facing the Dodgers. And he was a guy that killed us in 2020. So I'm not even going to write him off. And they have a really good starting rotation. Then they host Tampa Bay for three games. They're sellers. We got to win that series. But then after that, to kind of round out the month, They've got three games against the Baltimore Orioles, who have a juggernaut of an offense and some great pitching as well. So I'm going to be nervous for that series. They got another Shohei Ohtani bobblehead night coming up as well. And then finally, they've got the Arizona Diamondbacks, who are no matter what it seems like these last couple of years, they kick our asses as well. They're a feisty bunch. So August is going to be a freaking tough schedule. I haven't even looked at the Padres schedule yet, but I'm not even going to bother. The Dodgers, they've got to take care of business here, and hopefully we can get Freddie Freeman back just in time for hopefully the Oakland Athletics series. But obviously he's got bigger things going on right now, so I completely understand where his priorities lie. But we've got to get some of these bats back, because this is brutal.
Yeah, you've mentioned a lot of scary teams that have a lot of the Dodgers are like this team that everybody, it's like, this is the World Series to play the Dodgers. And that's where my frustration is. It's like, sometimes I think the Dodgers, like, oh, home, it's another series. Like, we're playing Seattle. Like, no, this is like the biggest series for these teams. Seattle, first off, Justin Turner's coming back.
Yeah.
The dude's a stud. That's what got my daughter Jacinda into baseball, was Justin Turner. He's coming back. Baltimore is they could win a World Series. Let's not kid ourselves. Arizona was in the World Series, knocked us out. Oakland, like, we think we're just going to go into Oakland. Like, Oakland, this is a huge series for Oakland. There's a lot of scary teams. St. Louis is still St. Louis Cardinals. No matter what we think, they're still the Cardinals. Like, there's a lot of scary series coming up. Like, there's nothing we could just sit back and say, all right, we're the Dodgers. We're going to win three or four here. Like, we need to start winning two out of three of these series. That's what you got to do to win a World Series. You got to win two out of three of every series, mm-hmm. not this winning one game here and there. And that's where my frustration is. And it's like, come on, Dodgers. We need to get hot going into this, into the playoffs. And I, you know, my wife and I, we drink a lot of Larceny bourbon when it gets to playoff time. I don't want to have to drink a lot of bourbon during playoff time. I want to be able to sit back and not have to touch all my bobbleheads, Kevin. I want to sit back on this couch and relax and not have to be a big time bourbon drinker. Come on, Dodgers. Like, Kevin, like, you and I are on the same page on a lot of things. We might differ on some of our takes.
Yeah.
But bottom line here on Incline Dodgers, we want to win a World Series. And I know everybody that's listening to this is the same way.
It truly is a World Series or bust season, like it has been for the last 12 years or so for the Dodgers. Coach, we're about an hour in, so I want to make sure you get any final takes you had in or anything you want to cover before we close out. Chat, if anyone's got a super chat, you can ask that as well. So let me pass it over to you, Coach.
So here's the thing. 1981, we won the World Series. I don't even know what age I was, but I love the 1981 team. That's how far I'm into this. 1988, we won the World Series. I cried living in Whittier, California, when Kurt Gibson hit that home run and our neighborhood ran out there and fireworks were going off. I cried when we won the COVID World Series. I'm in with this guy's Dodger fans. Like, I want to win so bad as a Dodger fan. I've been a fan for 50 years. The day I was born, my parents said, you're a Dodger fan, and I've been a fan for 50 years. I'll never change. I bleed Dodger blue. So I'm with you guys. Like, all of our takes might be different. We might get frustrated at some of our takes, but we want the same thing. We want to win a World Series. I still believe that we can. I think maybe we've overreacted with the Kershaw thing tonight, but it's just because we want to win so badly. Kevin, what you do with your podcast here with Incline Dodgers, it's all about the Dodgers wanting to win World. Your fans want that. Come on, Dodger fans. Let's stay positive. Let's get this World Series, man. We believe in the Dodgers. Let's keep believing. And let's give this positive energy, man.
Love it, Coach. We'll definitely have you on shortly again. You always bring the hot takes you bring the rational takes and the hot passion that podcasts need. So I appreciate you coming on. You always bring it. So we appreciate it, and as well as the listeners. So you're awesome, Coach. So yeah, my final thoughts are, we've got a new month now. Let's turn the corner. We got to start winning these games. This is the crunch time. These last 2 months are the most important stretch of the season for obvious reasons. And I'm expecting some of these guys to really step it up. Kike Hernandez, he's got to have some more big games if he's going to be in this lineup. If Kevin Biggio is on this roster, he's got to get more aggressive and stop taking strike threes down the middle. The bench, this is where the bench starts to thrive. Ahmed Rosario, Kevin Kiermaier, they got to make an impact right away. Andy Páez, it's time for him to wake up and get into a hot stretch. The Dodgers, they've got to start winning these games. What happened in Houston was completely unacceptable. That Blake Trinan meltdown, that's a disgrace. It's time to freaking win these games. So let's go, Dodgers. Thank you guys for tuning in. Hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button. Let us know below in the comments if you're watching after the live stream has concluded your thoughts on this Dodgers-Padres series and how important it was and your takeaways. Let us know what you feel about Clayton Kershaw. And if you're listening on the audio feed, love you as well. Make sure you're subscribing on Apple, Spotify, or whatever platform you're on. Leave us a review. So Kevin Klein.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.